Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, January 7th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, we're obviously going to talk Kentucky basketball, college basketball, sprinkle a little college football championship game, but of course we're going to start off with the NFL, with our good friend and, as he puts it, regular contributor to the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. He brags about it on Twitter all the time. He's our good friend Vince Stover. Vince, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Bottom Line. I'm happy to be here. Excited to talk about the events of the week.
Are you? Are you glad? You're a big Packers fan, right?
I am a big Packers fan.
Are you glad that you got the matchup you wanted coming into the divisional round coming up this Sunday?
I think it's a good matchup still. It would have been more fun to play the Eagles, especially right now with them being so beat up. but I think Seattle's, at this point, every matchup's going to be hard. Seattle's banged up a good bit as well. Their rush defense is not that great. And so I think, generally speaking, yes. But I never hope to play anybody. And if I was on an NFL team, I would never at least verbally say, I hope we get to play this team. That always turns out bad.
But as a Packers fan, here's the news of the day. Mike McCarthy is now the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys stock up, stock down after hearing that news today.
Oh, it's up. I think McCarthy's a good fit in Dallas.
How? How is he a good fit in Dallas?
Well, there's a couple of things with this. One is you're guaranteed 10 wins. And
are you?
And a three-point playoff loss every year. Maybe one Super Bowl in 13 years. No, I think it's a good fit. I think the problem at the end of McCarthy's time in Green Bay was Aaron Rodgers. He started to go rogue more often. He began to get too large of an ego. And his numbers showed that here at the end of the time with McCarthy. I think McCarthy's a good coach. I think it was good for him to get away. I think it was an opportunity for him to step back. I think that always helps if people take the opportunity to look at what's going on and make adjustments. But his staff's going to be a big part of his success in Dallas.
They lost some real boners in the playoffs, though.
Yes. Yep.
That overtime game 10 years ago to Arizona, the year that
yeah.
The year that
Seattle.
They were the 15-1 year where they lost at home to the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
The game at Seattle when they were up 16 points with 3 minutes to go.
Yeah.
How do you lose all these games and still say Mike McCarthy is a good coach? Are you saying that you would have rather kept McCarthy and gotten rid of Aaron Rodgers?
No. Definitely not that. I think his time in Green Bay was done. He was there 13 seasons. He went to the playoffs 9 or 10 years out of those 13. I believe it's 9 years out of the 13. Went to the playoffs, missed them the last 2 years, missed them the first year, and then maybe sprinkled in one more somewhere in there as well. But I think overall he's a good coach, but Rodgers has the talent to be one of the best to ever play the game. His issues are more mental than physical, and I would take Rodgers over McCarthy. But I don't think this is a bad hire for Dallas. I don't know that there's any other NFL, experienced NFL head coach that would be better than McCarthy. And then when you're talking about college coaches, you're kind of testing the unknown more that way.
McCarthy, 125 up, 77 down with two ties. Who ties anymore? They had two ties under McCarthy. And you're right, 9 playoff years out of 13 seasons at Green Bay. What I remember the most are the games he lost.
Yeah.
I do remember the Super Bowl he won against Pittsburgh. But I remember the games that they blew. And I mean, they blew a couple of those games. That Seattle game will go down, to me, as one of the biggest choke games in the history of the NFL playoffs.
Yeah, I think he lost most of his playoff losses, I think, were by one possession. And you've mentioned three of them that were ones that they should have definitely won and could not pull it out.
So McCarthy, you say stock up for the Cowboys. McCarthy's the coach. Here's another thing that happened on Monday. Wade Phillips let go by the Rams. Do you see him maybe joining the Cowboys as a defensive coordinator again? Anywhere he goes, the defense turns up immediately. The Rams, he got them to the Super Bowl. He got Peyton Manning's last team as defensive coordinator when he was with Peyton Manning. He got them to a Super Bowl championship. Wade Phillips, when he's a coordinator, good things happen. Head coach, not so much. But as a coordinator, he's as valuable as any defensive guy in the league.
Yeah, he's one of the best defense coordinators still out there right now. A little surprised they didn't bring him back, even though they struggled this year defensively. I don't know if he's a fit with McCarthy or not. I don't know what their relationship is. I was hoping, as a Packer fan, that they were going to hire him back a couple years ago when they hired Pettine. But, I mean, it'd be a good fit. They got a lot of talent on that defense there in Dallas. And obviously Wade's familiar, so I don't know what his relationship is with Jerry Jones and those sorts of things. But I like Wade Phillips.
How bad did Buffalo choke that game against Houston on Saturday?
Oh, very badly. There was a lot of – it was a great game, first of all. Really enjoyed watching the game. As we said on the last podcast that we did together with the offense in Houston, they're never out of a game. Buffalo is one of those teams that is a piece or two away from being what they need to be. And right now they're a team that can do well, but they're not. They're never going to be elite at this point until they add some more weapons to their team.
Do you think they could go somewhere with Josh Allen as their quarterback? Because let's just face it, he got them to the lead, and then he gave the lead away.
Yeah, I think they can. He's going to have to learn how to not turn the ball over. But with the way the NFL's going right now, Lamar Jackson, especially Kyler Murray as well, but he fits that mold. And so they have to continue to coach him. He has to be coachable. He has to learn when not to throw the football or where to throw the football. And I think they can be successful. I mean, New England's going to be on the decline more than likely, and Miami's going to be nothing for a little while. The Jets are okay, but they have opportunity right now. In the next 2-3 years, they've got to take advantage of what they got.
Josh Allen was taken ahead of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Just think if those two guys had switched places, where the league would be right now, where those guys would be right now. Yeah, it's Buffalo's got their work cut out for them if they're going to ride Josh Allen to a further place in this league. But we look at the game Saturday night, Tennessee, New England. Is it over for the Patriots?
I don't think so. I think Brady will be back next year.
You do?
I think he will be.
Boy, he didn't sound like it after the game.
No, but I think when he steps back, if he still wants to play, which he has said up to this point that he does, he's not going to go somewhere else. I don't think Kraft will let him. So
you
I don't think
well, that's the only thing. I think Belichick will let him go, but yes. I'm like you. I don't think Kraft will let him go.
Right.
But I have no issue seeing Brady on a dozen other teams in the NFL come next year. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Yeah, you know, there's people saying, well, he should go wherever Josh McDaniels goes. They should go to Carolina and play together.
They
something
could be
like
a power
that.
Power play team for money. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but at this point, he's proven that he needs some talent around him, and Edelman's not enough. And so I think he'll be back in New England. I think he'll sign a 2-year contract, and they'll bring in another receiver, quality top-end receiver in free agency, and give him another run at it. I don't think he's going to go out losing to the Titans in New England.
Are you a believer in Kirk Cousins now?
No.
No. Sunday did not improve your standing on Kirk Cousins at all.
No, I think Kirk Cousins is what he is. He's right in the middle of the pack. He's a top 15 quarterback in the league. But there's a number of quarterbacks that take over him. I don't see him as the guy. He has to have the good defense, and he has to have the run game around him. And he can manage a game, and I don't think he's a horrible quarterback, but I don't see him as a guy that's going to take a team to the Super Bowl.
You talk about quarterbacks that don't get it done in the playoffs. It's a race between Breeze and Rodgers. It really is. I mean, you talk about games lost as a favored team. I think Breeze has a couple more because he's played more at home. But both of those guys, they both have one Super Bowl. You think two of the top, 10, 15 quarterbacks in the history of the game, they would get more than one Super Bowl. But that's, another story.
Well, I think that Drew Breeze, the referees, played such a role this year and last year in these games. I mean, that was clear as day offensive pass interference at the end of the game. And you can look back and say, well, there's a number of areas in the game where they could have done better and then that wouldn't have been in that situation. But at the end of the day, last year's defensive pass interference that didn't get called, this year's offensive pass interference that didn't get called, and as with all NFL seasons, one or two plays can make a massive difference. And when you look at the end of the day, Breeze is a great quarterback and he's done a lot, especially in New Orleans. I'd take him over a lot of guys right now.
He's a free agent, too. You don't know where he's going to be next year. I'm sure he wants to stay at New Orleans, but will he be welcome there? They have Teddy Bridgewater. They have Taysom Hill,
yeah,
who looked like Jim Brown yesterday on some of those plays. No telling where he'll be next year. But the reason the Saints lost because of their clock management and timeout management skills. Yeah. The last 4 minutes of that game, they didn't call a timeout before the two-minute warning and let 40 seconds run off. Yeah, they had more time. They just blew it in that game. Seattle, Philadelphia. It was over no pun intended, when the Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz goes down, that made it an under game. That made us look like geniuses of our Mac Daddy Stogie under picking that game. What happens to the Eagles now? Carson Wentz, why hasn't more people in Philadelphia come out against him? Because let's just face it, other than when Nick Foles was a quarterback of this team, Carson Wentz is totally underachieved as quarterback of the Eagles.
Well, he has, but I don't think that this season you can count it against him. They were depleted. They didn't have their top three receivers. They didn't have two of their starting offensive linemen. They don't have any weapons right now, and that's on the general manager and some on the coaching staff. But I think Wentz is still – he's in that top 15 range as well. I would take him over Kirk Cousins still, but he's got to prove more postseason success.
But this isn't a former number one overall draft pick. This is a guy being paid like one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. So if you sit there and tell me he's a top 15 quarterback, well, there's a problem there.
Well, yeah, but again, he's won his division. I didn't look it up, but he's won his division a few times. He's had success in the regular season. He's been injured. He got a cheap shot yesterday to get injured for this playoff game. So who knows what would have changed, you know, if he played the whole game and that wasn't his fault. You can blame him for calves or ankles or shoulders, but at the end of the day, a concussion, especially on a cheap shot, I'd still, if I was an Eagles fan, and I'm not, I'd still be all for Carson Wentz, and still think he's better overall than Nick Foles.
You think the Eagles would have won that game if he didn't get hurt?
I think they would have been in the game at the end.
They were in the game at the end. They had a fourth and goal at the last play of the game to tie it up.
Yeah, I think that they would have had more success. Josh McCown seems like a great guy. 40 years old, was retired at the beginning of the season. He just wasn't the answer, and I think Wentz could have.
Chris Collinsworth made a good point at the end of the game, and he makes some lousy points sometimes, but he actually made a good one last night. He goes, 25-year-old Josh McCown sees a lane to run, and he can take it. 40-year-old sees the same lane and thinks he can do the same, but his body says he can't, and that's where he gets into trouble. So there you go. There's our little divisional wild card weekend recap. Let's go forward to this week now. We've got four teams coming off byes, all of them playing at home, all of them large favorites. The Chiefs, the biggest favorite on the board, I've got them at minus 10 right now. And your beloved Packers, the cheapest favorite on the board, as a four-point favorite. Any of these road underdogs, let's just face it, road underdogs covered three out of the four games at wildcard weekend. Any of these four underdogs on the road tickle your fancy this weekend, Vince Dover?
If I was a betting man, the Vikings 49ers game, I think the 49ers will win. I don't think they'll cover.
You've been against the Niners all year. You have not been a fan of them. Every time we talk, you never mention the Niners at all. Is this personal? I mean, what do you got?
No, I think you look at the offensive weapons. They've got Kittle, who's great. The running backs have been pretty good this year. They still, just to me, at wide receiver, they're lacking. And I think that's where it's just dangerous for them. I don't think that they've proven themselves in any way yet. They've had a great regular season, but we've seen a number of teams who've had great regular seasons, the Saints, and can't get it done in the playoffs. And so that's why I still think they'll win. I think the Vikings are a good matchup for them, but I think the Vikings can cover on this one.
So Vince Dover likes the Vikings. If we had to pick one underdog to cover the spread and or potentially win the game, I hate to agree. I think the Vikings are the team. You've got a team in the 49ers, playoff experience, very little. But the numbers point to me saying Minnesota has a valid shot of winning this game. And it's tough right now to go against teams like Baltimore and Kansas City, those AFC teams. They're both going to be double-digit favorites probably by the time this game kicks off. I think Minnesota, right now you're getting 6.5. I see no sign of that going up to 7 because as soon as that number hits 7, you're going to see these wise guys pound that to get it back down to 6.5. Minnesota is my play, but I don't see any problem if you just blindly go into this weekend and say, you know what, give me all four road dogs, give me all those points. You went 3-1 with it last weekend, and the only loss you had was Buffalo, so it's not like you really were out of that game completely. You lost that one by a half point only because the game went to overtime. So the road dogs so far in the playoffs have been a very good play in the divisional round since 2004, Vince Stover. Road dogs in the divisional playoff round, which is this weekend, 38-24-1, that's 61%. So when you take these road dogs in this round, you're cashing in tickets, Vince Stover, and as we all know, that is what it's all about.
With the Chiefs being such a high favorite, I mean, the Texans beat them in the regular season. A 10-point, that's a pretty big...
In Kansas City.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big spread as well. The Texans are so inconsistent, I'd never put my money on them. But I think that's one that if I was feeling dangerous, I think I'd take the Texans there to cover, not to win.
Oh, no sprinkle of pizza money on the under money line on that one?
Okay. No.
So there you have it. Vince Stover likes the Vikings. He says he likes the Texans as well. We say, hey, just take all four road dogs and just pray for three wins and see what happens. All right, so Vince Stover, your Super Bowl pick last week was the Chiefs over the Saints. Is that correct?
It was the Saints over the Chiefs.
Over the Chiefs. I always get those wrong. Saints over the Chiefs. Last time I checked, the Saints are home now. I'm going to give you a mulligan. You may now repick your Super Bowl picks.
Well, I think the Packer-Minnesota game in the NFC Championship game at Lambeau is going to be a great game.
Oh, he says, I don't want the points. I don't need the points. I'll take Minnesota straight up over San Fran. Okay.
No, I don't know. I think San Francisco still wins that game. At this point, it'll sound like a homer pick, but I think it's a safe pick. I think the Packers and the Chiefs, and we'll take the Packers over the Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs can win in the Super Bowl, but I think they will make it there.
We'll stick with what we said last week. We'll stick with Baltimore over San Francisco. We didn't lose anybody because nobody played, so we're not. We'll stick with Baltimore. Baltimore right now, plus 175, excuse me, to win the Super Bowl. So you sit there and say, is that a future pick? Hey, just put your money on Baltimore every week and let it ride. That's a more advantageous money play than it is putting a future up there. But Baltimore right now, most people have them as basically between a 45 and 48% chance, a lot of these analytics sites, of winning the Super Bowl. That's how dominant they've been this year. So it's almost like Baltimore versus the field at this point. We'll ride out with Baltimore. Vince Stover says, whatever he just said, we weren't paying attention. So there you go. The NFL from the bottom line. College football, we're down to one game left. LSU versus Clemson for the national championship. By the way, we got word on Monday. Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback of the Crimson Tide of Alabama, is leaving for the NFL draft. Does that downgrade your views of the Crimson Tide in any way, Vince Stover?
No, I don't think so. I think I haven't looked at the recruiting class or anything like that. I'm just assuming that Saban's still hauling in all the prospects that he wants. And, of course, they've got the former Kentucky prospect at quarterback now that the Kentucky Riders seem to be latching on to for some reason. But he played well. And so, no, I think Alabama's going to be right there towards the top again next year.
So it's business as usual in Tuscaloosa. Is that what you're telling me?
I would assume so.
All right, the national championship game Monday night. The point spread on this is all over the place. We always talk about shopping around. Have a few different accounts, if you know what I mean. That way you could shop around. There are places online you can find LSU minus 6.5 right now. There are places you can find them minus 5. I'm looking at them right now on my little score sheet. Whoever I want, I could get almost middle it. If it's a 6-point win, I can bet on both sides, and I win both sides of my bet. So there you go. That's why it's always advantageous to shop around. But most of the consensus is going to be about 5.5 at this point. You can find different lines, different places. Lots of value, as we talked about last week. We love the Clemson value. You're getting an undefeated team who's covered more point spreads than any team in America this year, and now you're getting them as an underdog. Vince Stover, has your mind changed on this value bet from last week?
Not at all. I think Clemson is the way to go. You know, you look at it. I look at Coach Orgeron again, and he's such a great motivator. And now you ask the question, well, they're not an underdog. If they were, I'd be more worried about LSU. But it's going to push Coach Orgeron and his coaching ability to now say, hey, we're the best. We got to remain the best. But Clemson, to me, again, they're so talented. They're the defending champs. They've been there so many times, even if they haven't won them all, in the last 4 or 5 years. Clemson is the team that's going to come out. I think they're going to play the best. I think they're going to win. I don't even think you need the points with this one. But I think it'd be a safe bet. Take the points and roll with Clemson.
Fade the public. 77% of the tickets, 80% of the money right now has been placed on LSU to cover that spread. I don't remember ever seeing a game this big having that much of a money differential in sides. It makes me want to sprint to the window and get as much down on Clemson as I can get down. Clemson is the value play in this football game, and we put our Big Mac Daddy Stogie behind this one. Clemson getting as many points as you can find. Get them, take them, sprinkle the money line, whatever you got to do. That is our Mac Daddy Stogie here on the bottom line. College basketball. We are here at Lexington, Kentucky. 71-59, Kentucky defeats Missouri over the weekend. Your thoughts on that game in a nutshell, Vince Stover?
I think they did what they needed to do. I think, and when we talked about the last podcast, we were thinking it would be inside 10 points, but it was right pretty close to that as well. They needed to win it. They did it. They had two guys that went off scoring. Outside of that, still a lot of struggling. The three-point shooting, is it going to get better? It has to get better if they're going to win, especially come March and April. But when will it show up? I don't think it's going to. And we might be looking at an early Sweet 16 out for Kentucky this year.
We put a lot of numbers up on Twitter yesterday. Three-point shooting for Kentucky, 28.5% out of 353 teams in America. They're 335th. Are they alone? Let's look at Duke. They're 30.8%. They're 312th in America. But do you have to have three-point shooting to win a national championship? Last year, Virginia was 39.5%. They were only 149th. But by the way, the line was about a foot closer last year, too, so the percentages are going to be higher. But the point we're trying to make is you got to be able to shoot in this day and age. You've got to be able to shoot three-pointers. You can't just be, you know, layup artists and play, you know, back to the basket in the paint and expect to win. But was that game Saturday? Was it really a big deal? On Saturday morning, our good friend Ken Pomeroy, who we worship basically in college basketball, Kentucky was 15th in his ratings, 19.92 number. On Sunday morning, Kentucky was 19th in his ratings, 19.93 rating. Four teams passed him up: West Virginia, Arizona, San Diego State, and Florida State. So was it really the game to end all games and to cure all the ills for Kentucky basketball if it's Stover?
No, it doesn't. I think there are positives with it. Nick Richards being consistent now, it's a huge step forward. Emmanuel Quickly, he's going to be rising up the draft boards. I think he's working his way into a lottery pick right now. Hagans being injured, that's going to help him get more opportunities. Hagans, it doesn't sound like he'll be gone too long, though. But I think that this team desperately needs one of its players to step up and lead. As we talked about before, that's when Cal's teams have had the most success, is when a player just takes over. And not just necessarily in scoring, but just the leadership role on the team going forward. I think Quickly is getting ready to take that. And I think with the veteran in Nick Richards, and he's playing like a veteran now, there's some hope. I don't think the SEC is any good in basketball this year, so I think they're still looking at maybe another 3-4 losses in SEC play. But the real test won't come until tournament time.
The Ashton Hagans injury. I'm on record as saying I think it's worse than people are letting on. People are saying he might even play Tuesday night. I don't think it is. Kind of reminded me of a Kevin Durant injury from the NBA playoffs where he said, oh, I'm okay, we're going to rehab. Oh. Yeah, and then a couple weeks later, he re-injures his Achilles, and now he's not going to play for a year. Your thoughts, if Ashton Hagans does have a serious injury and he's out, what does this team look like going forward?
I don't think it looks a whole lot different. Honestly, I think the rotation gets a little smaller, which may be a good thing. But I think losing Hagans is not a good thing. But I don't think it's going to change the scope necessarily a ton of the team, because I think Quickly is stepping up and filling a major void right now. And with his opportunities, it's going to also create more opportunities for some of those other guys as well. So I don't think it makes a massive difference necessarily in this season.
Tuesday night, Kentucky travels to Athens, Georgia, one of my old haunts, close to it anyway, to face the Bulldogs. One thing I know about Georgia basketball, nobody cares until Kentucky comes to town, and then somehow they almost fill up the place. They don't quite fill it up, but they almost fill it up. First true road game of the season for the Cats. When they hit the floor Tuesday night, only one Power 5 team in America will have not played a road game yet. That is Washington. There's a little known fact for you. Georgia has a lottery pick named Anthony Edwards. No, not the guy that played Goose in Top Gun. He's going to be a top 5 lottery pick. He averages 18.4 points a game, but their best player statistically is a guy named Rashawn Hammonds, who averages 14 a game and 9 rebounds. Ken Pomeroy says Georgia will lose this game to Kentucky 72-70. ESPN BPI says Kentucky will win by 4. Your thoughts on this game and the results, potentially, Vince Stover?
I think Georgia coming off a big win helps Kentucky. They're still going to be motivated for Kentucky. I think that with, again, that Memphis win's huge for Georgia.
Yes, it was.
They're coming in high, but I think that's going to motivate Kentucky more than it motivates Georgia. You know, again, you never know what's true when the coaches are speaking, but supposedly some continued great practices ever since the Louisville game. And we'll see. I think that's a safe bet, that 2-4 point window, Kentucky winning. They have the better talent, I think, still at this point. And so I think they should win, and I think the Memphis win helps them with that.
As of this taping, we do not have lines for the Tuesday night games. Georgia on the season, you mentioned it, the big win Saturday at Memphis. Memphis at the time was ranked number 9, but if you want to talk about an overrated team, it is Memphis. I can promise you that. On the season, Georgia has also lost. They lost in Hawaii to Dayton and Michigan State, two top 10 teams. They also lost on the road at Arizona State. Those are basically the four best teams they've played all year. What does Georgia do well? Well, they don't shoot the three-pointer well, so they're fit right in with Kentucky. They're 240th of the nation in three-point percentage, but in two-point field goal percentage, they're 12th in America, 56%. So anytime they're inside the three-point line, they can really actually fill it up. But here's what you're going to get from Georgia, a fast tempo. Their average possession, this is all courtesy of KenPom, 15.5 seconds per possession. That's 24th fastest in America. So they're going to get up and down the court. So you're going to see a game in the 70s. You're going to see a higher total than you might usually see for those of you who like to play totals. But the one thing I focus on, especially the first road game of the season when Kentucky plays, Calipari's record against the point spread when he's on the road. When he's purely on the road, SEC road games, if you go against Calipari, you are 50 up, 35 down. That's 58.8% against the point spread. That's pretty good. When Calipari is a road favorite, if you go against him, you're 39-32. That's 54.9%. When Calipari goes to Georgia, if you go against him, you're 4-3, 57.1%. Now, that's a smaller sample size. But against Tom Crean, while at Kentucky, Calipari is 2-4 against Crean lifetime. But everybody remembers the two that he lost. He lost that upset game in Indiana. I think it's the last game they played in Indiana.
Yep.
December 2011. That ad nauseum replay, the last second shot that they replayed over and over again for 4 months until Kentucky got revenge on them in the NCAA tournament down in Atlanta. And that was when Kentucky was on their way to a national championship. And then in 2016, the round of 32 game between the 4 and 5 seeds, Kentucky and Indiana, the Scalabissier game, in which Kentucky lost as a 4 seed to number 5 seed Indiana. Everybody remembers those two. They don't remember the others that they won. But Cal on the court has not gotten the best of Tom Crean at all.
I don't trust Tom Crean to be a championship-winning coach. I don't know that I trust Georgia to be a program that's a championship-winning program in college basketball. But I think it's going to be a tight game.
Dominic Wilkins ain't walking through that door.
No, he's not. No, I think it'll be a tight game. At this point, Kentucky still is just more talented than Georgia. And you can question the coaching all you want with Cal, but I question it with Crean also. And I stick with Kentucky.
I'll be very interested to see this line. I think if you see anything higher than 4, I think you have to take Georgia and the points in this game. You're looking at a team, I mean, let's just face it, these numbers on Kentucky, they keep dropping every game they play. It's not like they're dominating these teams. Even when they win, they're not winning impressively. You can say the Louisville game all you want, but all these other games, the game against Missouri, they didn't make enough of an impression to make it look like, hey, this team's turning the corner. Ugh. The numbers say they kind of are what they are at this point until things change.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about, the total points right now, we don't know what that is yet. I'd put it in the 130 range. And I would stay below that if I was a betting man.
So your pick on this game Tuesday night?
Kentucky by 2.
Well, you agree with KenPom. That's a good one. Like I said, I am very interested. I would take Georgia in the points if it's anywhere close to what I think it'll be. Kentucky will be a small favorite in this game. It's just a matter of whether it'll be 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever. Be very interested. Anything 4 and above, I think it's a play on Georgia where you get a possession. But like I said, let's wait till the lines come out. Dogs and the points is our play in this game. Do you have anything else that you see in college basketball? Gonzaga, still the number one team in America. Who have they played? Now they're in their West Coast Conference season. We can't name any West Coast Conference teams. Well, I can because I look at this stuff every day. But most of America, east of the Mississippi, can't name 3 teams in the West Coast Conference. Your thoughts on Gonzaga, the number one team in America right now, Vince Stover?
I think that they're going to be, again, they're kind of floating in that west side of the states where they're going to have a great record and they're going to go into the tournament ranked 1 or 2 but they're not really going to scare too many people, I don't think. I'm watching Michigan State climb again, and thanks to the friends over at KenPom, watching them more now than I was before. And when you talk about in college basketball, coaching is so important, and Michigan State has proven time and time again that they're going to be dangerous. And so that's the team I'm watching right now.
I wouldn't bet against Duke right now. I wouldn't bet against Michigan State right now. Those are the two teams. If you said, hey, I'll take 2 teams, you give me two teams and I'll give you the field, I would take Duke and Michigan State. I know Ken Pomeroy came out with a tweet yesterday. I actually retweeted it. He said Duke, Kansas, he threw Kansas in, and Michigan State were head and shoulders above everybody else. I'm not really on board with Kansas, but I am on board with Duke and Michigan State. Your thoughts, Vince?
Yeah, again, it comes down to coaching. Bill Self has a name. I don't trust him as far as I could throw him.
He might be the coach of the Spurs next year from what I've heard, too.
No, that's not. No? That will not happen. You heard it first here. They will have the first female head coach in the NBA.
Oh, you think she's going to be the coach there?
Without a doubt. Hammonds. Yeah, I think without a doubt, that's where they'll go. I think that's what it's being set up for. Bill Self, to me, he's not a good coach. And he's had so much talent come through that have played less than an average of less than 10 minutes a game. And then they've went on. They didn't do anything in the pros either. But at the end of the day, Kansas, I don't trust them. I don't think too much about them. But Michigan State, Duke, definitely teams to watch.
What if I told you there's a team out there that has defeated Oregon, Washington, Arizona, and North Carolina? What would you think about that team? What would you say about them?
You would think they're in the top 10.
That team is Gonzaga. Gonzaga has that impressive resume. However, if you look at the remaining games on their schedule, here's the two toughest games they have. At St. Mary's, at BYU. Yes or no, they run the table in the West Coast Conference. Vince Stover.
I would put my money on that.
You think so? Yeah. I'll take some. You know what? I think somebody will get them. I think St. Mary's on the road. I think they'll take down Gonzaga. I will say over 0.5 losses in the West Coast Conference for Gonzaga. There's a bet for the board right there. But we'd be remiss if we didn't go over our Mac Daddy Stogie picks. Last week, 2-2 with our unranked Davids over the ranked Goliaths of the world, which means if you're taking these on the money line, you made a little bit of a profit. We had number 4 Oregon losing to Colorado. We had unranked Marquette beating Villanova, but we lost Auburn defeating Mississippi State, and somehow we took Utah State over San Diego State. But we go forward. We don't look back. We're like Lot's wife in Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't look back. We go forward. We don't want to turn into a pillar of salt. So 2-2, a little bit of sprinkled profit. We've got two upset specials for Tuesday night. Unranked Rutgers will take down number 20 Penn State. This ain't football, ladies and gentlemen. This is basketball. And a team that we've had some success picking on this year, Villanova, number 16. They have to travel all the way from Philadelphia to Omaha, Nebraska to face the Creighton Blue Jays. We'll take Creighton, unranked, against mighty 16th ranked two-time national champion of this last decade, Villanova. So there you go, Vince Stover, two Mac Daddies. Unranked Rutgers over number 20 Penn State. Unranked Creighton over number 16 Villanova. How you like them apples?
I like them a lot, but
you
I would take Villanova over Creighton.
Well, you don't have to be so dismissive about it. No need for cheap shots. We'll ride out the underdogs here on the Bottom Line. Well, that does it for the Tuesday, January 7th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. We'd like to thank Vince Stover for joining us. Vince, tell us where we can find you on Twitter. Tell us about this mythical podcast of yours that you won't invite us to be on. Tell us about how we can see you on social media.
All right, so we've got the podcast is The Sports Stove, and we have 3 episodes out right now. We'll have another one coming out here in this week, and looking ahead to the NFL weekend and talking some of the coaching things as well. You can find us on Twitter at Sports Stove or on Facebook, The Sports Stove Podcast. And we are dropping pods left and right.
Aren't you married? You have a family? Why don't you do something with your life other than be a podcaster like me? It's different with me. I have nothing. I'm just taking care of my mom all the time. She doesn't care. At least you have a life. You have something to do in life. I don't have anything to do. I'm allowed to do this. You need to,
I sent the kids to the grandparents for a week. That gave me time to start the podcast. And now it's just a matter of maintaining it going forward.
Start the podcast without Bottom Line. That's okay. Vince, as always, we thank you for being here.
Hey, it's great to be on. Looking forward to what the year has for the Bottom Line Lexington podcast. And excited to see what goes on. It's going to be a great sports weekend.
Thank you, my friend. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. At Bottom Line Lex, make sure to like and subscribe this podcast. If you see fit, we would appreciate it very much. Our sincere apologies go out to Cash Daniel. Sorry we didn't have time for you today. We'll try to get you on next time. But as always, until the next time, may the winners be yours.
Listen, good luck. Cashing tickets is what it's all about. So long, everybody.